Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
And now we will move on. And it's time to look at what's coming up on our big and small screens. And I'm joined today by Gráinne Humphreys, director of the Dublin International Film Festival, and TV and radio producer Owen Sweeney. Good afternoon, guys.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Brendan.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Gráinne, is there any chance for St. Patrick's Day that you could recommend a good sexy Jacobean drama for us on Sky Atlantic?
Mary and George. It's so easy. Sometimes it just, you know, it's just sitting there waiting for you. I have to say, I have a lovely intro to this in that I have worked a number of times with Mark O'Halloran, the wonderful Irish actor and writer. And he had told me about working with this brilliant director called Oliver Harmanis, a South African filmmaker, and told me a bit about this project. So I have to say, I've been waiting for this for about 3 years. So when it finally arrived and got to see the whole thing the whole way through, I just absolutely have had a smile on my face solidly for about the last week or so. It's about Mary Villers and the way in which she used her son effectively in the court of King James the First to escalate, save her family from penury and by, I suppose, really pimping her son into the arms of the king, elevated herself up through aristocracy into the court of these incredibly scheming, dangerous. I mean, it's a dynamic part of time with the gunpowder plot, etc. But just brilliantly acted, brilliantly directed, great fun, very sexy. Mark plays Sir Francis Brake, and he's brilliant. Julianne Moore and Nicola Walker, two great actors, go at each other in a verbal catfight that is the best telly that you'll see. I think it's around episode 3. Don't skip to that because you'll need a bit of context. But really, really good, fun, intoxicating and very sexy telly.
Okay, Mary and George, and that's on Sky Atlantic. Now, Owen, Three Body Problem is coming to Netflix on Thursday. Kind of hotly anticipated, but now I think people are kind of wondering, is it that good?
That's a fair question. I've watched the first three episodes. It's, as you say, it's next Thursday. It's Benioff and Weiss, the two boys behind Game of Thrones. This is what they did next, which people have been, as you say, hotly anticipating. It's a lot of money gone into this. They made their name kind of filming the unfilmable with Game of Thrones. It kind of petered out and people weren't very happy with the ending. So if we can sign that, you know, thoughts of that to history and start again. This is set in the modern age, pretty much. It actually opens in 1960s China. It's all about, well, physics and belief and aliens. As far as I can make out, and I'm only three episodes in, you know, it goes against the modern prevailing trend, particularly with streaming, which is that, you know, grab them straight away. I haven't been totally hooked yet.
Okay, can you understand what's going on? Is that what you're telling us?
That's kind of what I'm telling, right? So we have basically a loose kind of aggregation of college friends 20 years on there, thereabouts. We have two physicists, that's hard to say, a material scientist, an entrepreneur who dropped out of the physics course in college, and a guy who's a teacher now. They're kind of loosely thrown together at a funeral. We are told, thanks to some sort of shady spy network, 32 dead scientists worldwide, including at CERN and indeed at Oxford. The rules of physics, Brendan, are breaking down. I'm not quite sure how.
Because you need to know the rules of physics.
Exactly, which I will confess I do not. A three-body problem is a physics a conundrum. You cannot accurately predict the motions of three bodies in each other's orbit, be they molecules or be they planets. There's a virtual reality kind of video game that just arrives unannounced into the laps of two of these five young people. And it's either analogous or it's key to the whole series. Variety magazine did a little, they had some screenings of this throughout the world, and it's been compared to watching Lost all over again, which is probably not what Netflix want to hear.
Okay.
Because it is, you know, I don't know if you watched Lost. Did you watch Lost? Anyone who's
stuck,
watched Lost.
Right with it, and I'm still bitter.
Exactly the vibe you don't want to send out, particularly people are still bitter with the ending of Game of Thrones. But, you know, Communist China speaking to aliens.
Three body problem.
It's out next Thursday.
Netflix from Thursday.
8 hours.
For fans of the Open University.
Exactly.
Okay. Gráinne, Baltimore in cinemas Friday, and this is the story of Rose Dugdale.
Rose Dugdale, yeah. She's an English Rose debutante, turned IRA ally, part of the amazing heist in the Rusborough House in 1974. And this is really a portrait of her. Actually, three-person problem, but that idea of her kind of her, if you like, becoming an activist, moving from this kind of aristocracy background into the heist, and then what happened afterwards. Kind of fascinating. Imogen Poots plays Rose Dugdale. She's brilliant. Tom Vaughan Lawler is one of the guys involved in the process, who she kind of pulls into her objectives. And then the directors are Joe Lawler and Christine Molloy, Desperate Optimists, who are IFTA nominated actually for Kin, and did a film called Rose Plays Julie. It's kind of like a puzzle structure. They're quite self-aware filmmakers, so there's a kind of knowing nod that Imogen might give to the camera. So it's a very interesting take on that kind of heist movie or that biopic piece.
And a classic Irish yarn as well. Okay, that's Baltimore in cinemas on Friday. Owen, series three of Girls Forever.
Five Ever. Do you know why, Brendan?
Busy Phillips.
Because Forever is too short.
Okay.
I will work it up to this.
Rehearsed outside.
Thank you, Grodd. Don't give away my tricks. Now, basically, it's a week of kind of serious stuff, and certainly after Three Body Problem, I wanted some distraction. I suppose if you've got kind of a Brooklyn Nine-Nine gap in your viewing schedule, or maybe Schitt's Creek or something like that, if you want something that's 25 minutes and a bit zany, a bit off the wall, and just pleasing fun. If you don't like a joke, another one will be along very shortly afterwards. It's got a great cast. It also has the thumbprint of Tina Fey in it in terms of the production thing. It was two series on Peacock. They dropped it. Netflix, interestingly, took it up, and they now have all three series. It only amounts to 22 episodes. So, look, you can give it a lash. It's a satire of the music business. It's a girl group who thought they were going to make it, like many other boy and girl bands at the time, the late 90s. They ended up becoming a one-hit wonder, consigned to the dustbin of history. But their big hit was sampled by an up-and-coming rap star. Then they thought, ooh, maybe we'll get the fame that eluded us. So the four main characters, who basically are the chill one, the hot one, the busy one, and the fierce one, respectively. That's Sarah Bareilles, Busy Phillips, Paula Pell, and Renée Elise Goldsberry, who has a Tony, if I'm not mistaken, for Hamilton. Sarah Bareilles has a couple of Grammys, so they know which of they speak. It's a bit of crack. Do you know, the first episode of Series 3 has a spoof of The Crown, which involves Prince Andrew and stuffed animals, and a Texas-style reinvention. Hello, Beyonce. So it's topical as well.
So unlike much of what we talk about here, it's entertaining.
It's entertaining, exactly. Okay. Which is why I picked it.
On Netflix now, Girls Five Ever.
Five Ever, all three series.
Grania, are there any Japanese masterpieces in the cinema right now you'd like to tell us about?
Well, I have to say, I'm a huge fan, and so is my mum, actually, of Kurita Hirokazu, wonderful Japanese filmmaker, did Shoplifters, Like Father, Like Son, and a beautiful film called Nobody Knows. He is one of the great Japanese filmmakers, and I think this new film, Monster, which is a story about a young kid who's getting into trouble in school, and it's told in the old classic Rashomon story, storytelling of different perspectives. And so it's told through three different, if you like, prisms. And this one story then just changes as you see it through different people's eyes. And it's just brilliant filmmaking. It's brilliant. It's a character study of a little child, but it's also, as I said, about the fact that how little we know about each other. We can actually go to school with each other, we can live with each other, but how little we may know what's going on. Beautiful storytelling. And as I said, just one of those films that, you know, I think if you're interested in how to tell a story, even a simple story about a kid getting into trouble in school, this is a film that you should definitely try and find.
Okay, Monster in cinemas now. On Sky Arts on Tuesday at 9 o'clock, a celebration of the specials.
Exactly, something a bit musical. It's not a great week for that either, although there was loads on last night and Sky Arts. So the specials, this is a new one. It's a new production to celebrate what would have been the late Terry Hall's 65th birthday. That's on Tuesday.
Poor old Terry Hall.
I know, what a great man. What a great and interesting character, and what a life as well. Met him once, DJing at an event here in Ireland.
Did you, yeah?
The
Upbeat?
No, he's quite down, but I mean, he's quite removed. I don't, no kind of meanness or snootiness to him. Just kind of uncomfortable.
Just bleak.
Yeah. and A Life Lived. And bleak is a good word because, you know, this is a band that kind of threw together people from various backgrounds and ethnic backgrounds in the Midlands of England and in famously through Ghost Town chronicled the demise of a lot of towns and I suppose city cultures through the Thatcher years. You know, you just think of Ghost Town, Concrete Jungle, Too Much, Too Young. So the debut specials album will be examined in great detail in a documentary series, our documentary called Record on Sky Arts on Tuesday. So yeah, it's I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen it, obviously, but
the story of music, really. These are stories of the time.
Yeah, the social history again. You know, and this is a new series Sky Arts do intermittently. I mean, I know they did one in New Order, so this is only the third one I can make out. But as I say, I haven't seen it, but I've no doubt it'll be well produced.
Record on the specials, yeah. And that's Tuesday at 9 on Sky Arts. Gráinne Death and Other Details on Disney Plus. This sounds like it could be entertaining as well, is it?
It could be. I mean, you've seen it before. You've seen it before. Soon. No, because it's High Seas, it's Only Murders in the Building, it's Knives Out, but it's somewhat kind of familiar yet entertainment and are entertaining and kind of addictive. So Mandy Patinkin, the great Mandy Patinkin from everything from Yentl to Homeland, plays the world's greatest detective who is stuck on a boat with a whole bunch of rich people. One of them dies and there you go. And they wander around in and out of each other's cabins and there's, you know, a huge conspiracy about some, you know, a corporate takeover. But actually, it's just glamorous people on a big ship.
Okay,
we've seen it before
and we will watch it again. Death and Other Details on Disney Plus. Gráinne Humphreys and Owen Sweeney, thank you both.